This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Choying Drolma, is a Tibetan Buddhist nun who lives in a remote monastery in Nepal called Nagi Gompa. As part of her meditative practice, she sings songs that have been part of the tradition for hundreds of years. Her beautiful singing was discovered by the American guitarist and composer Steve Tibbetts. He first heard about her on a visit to Nepal. He recorded her singing alone and with other nuns, and when he got home, he overdubbed guitar and percussion on some of the songs. The results are on the CD, Cho. Last week, as Choying Drolma and Steve Tibbetts concluded an American performance tour, they came to our studio. I spoke with Choying Drolma about the music she sings and her life as a nun. She was born in Nepal in 1971 to Tibetan parents living in exile. Drolma is now trying to build a school for nuns in Nepal to provide basic education and basic medical skills. Before we meet her, let's hear music from her CD with Steve Tibbetts, Cho. An important part of the meditation practices in your nunnery?
It's a practice, definitely, but in terms of meditation, well, we have many different levels of meditation we can go through. Very primary level of meditation to advanced level of meditation where point comes to no meditation. But this practice is a practice where we go through a lot of visualization practice also. Visualization of your own body being offered to the evil spirits. And
your body being offered to the evil spirits?
Yes.
I don't understand.
The essence, my essential practice of this is just to realize our own negative emotion as our own biggest enemy and the demon, none other than, like, your own negative emotion is the demon. But when we do it for somebody else who is sick or somebody's dead, and if we feel that there's some evil spirit has blocked them or harming them, what we do is like we go in front and say, okay, here you come, everybody come. I mean, if there's anybody who likes blood, just have my blood. Anybody you like my flesh, have my flesh. It's just kind of practicing a selflessness. You know, we are so attached to our body. We are attached to ourself, our thought, our wish. And it's just, people, if they understand, it's essential point of practice is that, understand yourself. But here it says, have everything and enjoy, bring peace.
Before we talk more about your life in the Buddhist nunnery in Kathmandu, I'd love it if you would sing one of the songs.
Sure.
And if before you sing it, you could explain to us how it fits in to the meditation practice.
Mm-hmm. Here, this song is a solo song where we also can sing it with the drums, but I usually like to sing it solo. It's kind of a supplication prayer to our teachers who's been the lineage teachers. So, at the beginning, it starts with Namo Guru. Namo Guru means I pay homage to my teacher, where our teacher is considered the most important thing in our life, in spiritual practice. Namo Guru Neho Menchu Yepo Dona Yumche Shera Parche La Suvande Dai Sundeb Jepo La Chenye Lo Kenchenang parche shivadam Chot moini jengru tso Poi jewa me parlam na jompai Ne chagun pombure wona Yanda zogbe sangye la sovande Ne sengchen hon me te tena Jambu mrawe sengge la sovande Ne yagran jang me je wo na Ke ba arya de wa la so vande Dae sum deb je po la chen je lo Ken chenang par che she wa dang Chot moini jengru tso Poi jewa me parnam na jompai
Now that was really beautiful. Now, I imagine that you learned to sing that for purposes of meditation and paying homage to your teacher at the nunnery. And, you know, in the past couple of years, you started performing as well with the help of Steve Tibbetts. And I'm wondering what it's like to take this meditative music and find yourself singing for other people like you're singing for us now. It must be a totally different sense.
In a way, different, yes. But on the other hand, it is always our depend on our, you know, whatever, whenever we do this, I mean, our motivation there or our practice or our visualization is always the same thing. But the difference is the outer environment. I mean, like, we have people looking at us, all hundreds of people down there staring at us. But before I start to sing, I feel that. I feel a little strange. I mean, sometime maybe when I think very positively, I feel good that I'm getting a chance to let them hear these sacred songs. But once I started, I'm all in my state, my natural state.
My guest is Ani Choyang Drolma, and she's a Tibetan Buddhist nun who lives in Kathmandu. Her parents are exiles from Tibet who have been living in Nepal since, I guess, the late 1950s. You were how old when you came to the monastery?
I was 13.
13. And how did you know you wanted to be a nun at the age of 13? That seems so young.
To be honest, when I first became a nun, I really didn't much know about being a nun. But it was just an excuse to get out of the life which I was living.
What was it about? What was it about the life you were living that you wanted to get away from?
I had a very hard life. I was young, and my family, the financial condition, wasn't that great. As being young, being the oldest daughter in the family, I was supposed to do all the housework, cleaning, washing, cooking, and taking care of two younger brothers. And well, those things were not that really difficult part for me, but the most difficult part for me was my father was a little aggressive man. Very aggressive. Right now I understand that he worked so much. He's a sculptor. He makes Buddhist statues. whole day he works with the fire and chemical. And by end of the day, he's kind of really, really tired and confused. And very small thing made him really angry. And he used to kind of physically, he used to beat me. And not only that, I didn't see any harmony between my mom and dad also. And not only that, I also saw my mom giving birth to my younger baby brother, which was very, very fearsome. Because my baby brother came in the wrong way. And where our financial condition was not that great to take my mother to a hospital. So we had our baby younger brother born in Nepal, at home. And my father and my father's friend, one lady, and me, three of us were there to help my mother giving birth to the baby. But since it came out the wrong way, it took so long, and my mother was losing a lot of blood. As a kid, I was seeing everything. I was so afraid that my mother was going to die. I never could imagine that giving birth to a baby was that kind of tremendous amount of pain and difficulty. Anyway, I saw my father and that other lady putting their hands inside and then pulling out the baby. By the time baby came out, it was dead. But still, my mother was kind of, when my father told her that your baby's dead, my mother said, please don't try to, tell my father that not to cut the
umbilical cord.
Yes, and she wanted to have the baby. So my father understood that, and then he gave the baby to my mother. And my mother, what she did was she tried to clean up the mouth and nose both first, and she started sucking from the mouth and blowing through the nose. Somehow, first the baby had some marks in her neck. Neck and eyes was closed, ears were closed, nose were closed. It was dead. But after several times she did that, and the baby started moving and cried. It's not only that, and then she had difficulty having the after baby comes out, there's another thing has to come out.
The placenta.
Yeah. So she didn't come out, and she was losing a lot of blood. So finally, we ended up taking her to the hospital. So she survived, but all the process was so fearful.
Did the baby live?
Yes. He's now 19 years old. And it's just the experience which I was going through was too much for me, because I was my age and my experience was not balanced.
Is this a kind of typical thing that girls come to the nunnery because a parent beats them or because life?
No,
life
not
has,
necessarily all the time.
This was unusual.
I think normally most nuns who become nuns, either they're parents wish,
mm-hmm.
because parents are very religious,
right,
and they want their children to be religious person. And on the other hand, people realize the suffering of being in the worldly activities.
Mm-hmm.
And they think renunciation is the best way to accomplish peace. That's how they go to the nunnery. But for me, it was experiencing a lot of things like that. And one day I was feeling so sad. I had a fear that I have to live a life like my mom's. I grow up, get married. I couldn't have a better example of a man beside my father.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe I will have a husband like him and then give birth to babies. And that's the limited of the life. I didn't want that life, but I didn't know any alternatives either. So I just talked to my mother about it, and then my mom says, you don't have to live the life if you don't want to. And she just gave me the idea to become a nun.
Did a nunnery seem like the only alternative way out?
Yes. When my mom told me that I can become a nun, I said, how I can become a nun? She said, there's a very wonderful teacher nowadays in Bodø, that's a place area called Bodha. Mm-hmm. Bodha Nut, where it has the biggest stupa in the world, I think. And I went to him. I said, I want to take refuge. I want to become a nun. And they all laughed because I was young. I was almost around 10 years old. But finally he accepted me. And I came back home and I told my parents. I said, I'm a nun now. You can't keep me home. You have to let me go to a nunnery. Otherwise you'll be committing a sin. But somehow our family condition was like that. And they didn't have anybody to help them. They still kept me for another 3 years. And was still continuing the same old life I was. And I became a little older. I became more rebellious. I said, I'm going to nunnery. You can't keep me here. And I, no matter how much my father was, angry or, you know, aggressive, I told him that you let me go to a nunnery or you kill me.
Wow, that's such strong words.
So I think finally he got fed up with me and then let me go to a nunnery.
My guest is Tibetan Buddhist nun Choying Droma. Her singing is recorded on the CD Cho. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Tibetan Buddhist nun Choying Droma. She lives in a monastery in Nepal. Her singing is recorded on a CD called Cho. What's a typical day like for a 13-year-old in a Tibetan Buddhist nunnery?
Well, first of all, I appreciate my father very much. I really thank him for treating me
for treating you harshly.
Yes, I really do.
Because you feel like you found your calling because of that?
Because of that treatment, I felt like I wanted to go somewhere where I found the most greatest, wonderful teacher who
he taught me the meaning of life. He taught me to love my parents. At the beginning, I used to hate my father a little bit. I used to have some question like, whether is he really my father? You know, because I used to compare myself to other children, because they, like, children who had always had new dresses on New Year, and they never had to work. They were never beaten by their parents. They had a lot of toys. I used to love to have a doll, but I never had one. So, but still, I never complained to my father, because in a way, I think I understood the situation, maybe, or maybe I didn't dare to ask. But my teacher, really, for a couple of years, he let me live, really return my whole childhood. I was able to play around. I really was like a child. I was very naughty, I should say.
Doing what?
Well, hanging around everywhere, not studying. I was really like a free, like a bird out of cage.
So he must have felt, your teacher must have felt you needed that.
Of course, he's omniscient. He must have understood everything. So, and then slowly he taught me very nice, in a very simple way. Never put me in a kind of a boundary saying that this is you have to do or that is you have to do. But very, very unnoticeably, something which you can experience or feel it, you know, but nothing like this is it, that is it, you know. So, never like a class or anything like that. But slowly, with his blessing, with his compassion, I really started to learn and then started appreciating being a nun, started to understand what are the rules of being a nun, what is the purpose of being a nun.
Could I ask you to sing another song for us?
Sure.
You've brought with you a bell and...
Damaru, we call it.
And that's the drum, the damaru.
The drum, mm-hmm. Yes. Jemo meme ye shi jengang zho ma ma ser na me be dun do jin ke jam jemo le dong ma da da me be po
par ze do so ma kun yo ye she de do jin nya han ba me be ten zo ma da da me be bo lo la ten ye la par ze do so ma je ba me
Choying Droma is a Tibetan Buddhist nun who lives in a monastery in Nepal. She'll be back in the second half of the show. Her CD with the American guitarist Steve Tibbetts is called Cho, and it's on Hannibal Records. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Tibetan Buddhist nun Choying Droma. She lives in a monastery in Nepal. The American guitarist and composer Steve Tibbetts has recorded her singing songs that are part of her Buddhist tradition. He's overdubbed guitar and percussion on some of the songs. Their CD is called Cho.
Now you're a teacher who you were very close to. You were his assistant.
Yes.
From when you were 13 till his death, I guess, in 1996.
Yes, so that February of 1996.
So that was how many years? About 10, more than 10 years?
More than 10 years, 12, almost 13,
mm-hmm.
12.
Do you wonder what he would have said about you performing?
He would have laughed, definitely. You crazy, he would tell me.
But you think he would have, you know, accepted it and encouraged you?
I mean,
you to
he
do
was
it?
A positive about it, you know. What
was he alive when you started doing this?
Yeah, we did the recording, I mean, with his permission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before, when first I was more shocked than my teacher was. I mean, when I received his mixing up and everything, when I listened to it.
When you received Steve Tibbetts' version of your songs with his music
yes.
mixed behind
yeah.
it, yeah.
I never expected that.
Mm hmm.
And I was shocked, really, honestly. I was pretty shocked, and I said, what is this? But when he said, let's make an album, and I wasn't going to decide what I was, I mean, saying yes or no. I definitely went to teacher, and I said, what do you think of making a album? You know, like, it'll be able to reach out to a lot of people. And he was very positive that these sacred prayers are very blessingful. We believe that you can liberate people by letting them hear the sacred songs, you know. So that was the positive thought he gave to me. So I was very positive since that.
Can you give us a sense of what a typical day might be like for you now in the nunnery?
For me?
Yeah.
I'm now more as a staff. I mean, individual practices, of course, that's very necessary in our life. We try to practice as much as possible. But still, I'm not a diligent person. And what I try to do is, like, try to find what's there happening in the nunnery. Is there anything I can do? Like, mostly what I do is I see if anybody's sick or anybody needs anything medically. Like, we have 15 nuns and 3 retreat, and I try to check whether everything is fine with them. If any of them are sick, I go down, because I drive a jeep. I'm the only nun who drives in Nepal. I think probably I'm the only nun who's driving. I'm a rough driver. So I can go down and get a doctor and, you know, understand what doctor says, what's the problem, everything. So that kind of thing I do. And I'm really am on focusing very strongly into my project also, which makes me spend a lot of time.
The project of starting the school.
Exactly. Yeah.
Could you sing one more short song for us?
Sure.
Introduce it for us.
This is a song where you would invite all the evil spirits and tell them that you might have been my parents, since we believe that we have taken many, many rebirths. And so any life, anybody could have been our parents or our child. So it's kind of a life circulation. And I want to repair your kindness. And since many years, since long time, I've been so attached to my body, myself. And that caused me still remain in this world of samsara.
Is that the materialistic world?
Yes, materialistic world, which was so much focused outside. And then our negative emotion ran the life mostly, and which was full of suffering. And let me just clear my depth and bring peace. And by with the peace you will receive, I pray that you all take the rebirth in the realm of Buddha. And all the male in the realm of Buddha, all the female be reborn in the realm of Tara. That's a goddess, Tara.
Okay.
That's a prayer, you know, here.
Rekenam dage ba ma yen po ye sha cha ro do jo kene tin chen pa ma yen te le zang le le do jo Önce ölünde cevar zonca te taron kor varınca Tane me çatı morcen rüreysi zeminçene Naray nyawa yin che du ne be la da la ma sin. Po du le ge gong po du mo du le ge de mo du. Po du yang gong so da du mo du re mo se mo du. Se pe yol ne re gu du tsu la kang ge dun chun du. Tsuwu dun chen chob je du ge re tong cha je chun du. Che be dun chen chung a du yen ro sum ya tu chun du. Lover go to Taji Dunder Shonder Ndu Shataru. Chibu Tambu Menchene Kante Semo Yinchenji. Lunde che na tam che la ko wei cha yin me je du. Sha so cha tong ru pa mur ngo wei yin la tu nin shir. Tam je pa pim tsim par je shi var je shi la par je. Pong var je shi za va chu tu jin chum shi ma ra ya pai.
Choying Drolma is a Tibetan Buddhist nun who lives in a monastery in Nepal. Her CD with the American guitarist Steve Tibbetts is called Cho, and it's on Hannibal Records. This is Fresh Air.